Yes, hello. I am James Rowlandson. Today it's the WNR 512. It's the New Japan catch-up. But luckily, I'm not alone. I have the pleasure to be joined by the entire WNR team. Up first by my side for every WWE and AEW show is, of course, the fantastic Jaxie Scarlett. How's it going, Jaxie?
Yes, yes. Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday. How's everything going?
That's a more chilled out day than it is, you know, with a Saturday, I feel. So I think we're going to kind of be more laid back. But, you know, hopefully we'll still be calling each other a cunt. So I hope that doesn't change.
More than likely. I mean, I don't see that changing.
Yeah. Imagine people listening to this for the first time and hearing that.
A little bit of context, everyone. Not every context of the word cunt has to be used so forcefully. It can be banter between friends, just in the UK, FYI. Yeah,
exactly. Anyway, moving on.
Look at Will Ospreay.
Yeah, exactly. Bruv. I've been saying bruv a lot. Yeah.
I know. Like,
bruv, cunt. Bruv, cunt. I didn't think we could start the show like this, but we'll move on. Up next, our resident NXT expert and New Japan demigod, it is Monty. How's it going, man?
Going good. You know, I'm always excited around this time of year, especially talking about New Japan, getting to talk about it a little bit more often. But, you know, I try to put some of my powers to work. We'll see. Maybe not. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, I'm ready to talk about it. Let's see how far you guys have come, I guess.
Well, yeah, I don't want to be facetious, but again, this is your fault that we're all kind of dived headfirst into New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to thank you before we move on, because especially with this episode, this is New Japan has become the NXT to AEW's kind of main roster. And again, the wrestlers that we've seen, thanks in part to you, kind of are now making that move, and we kind of know who they are, weirdly, and the wider audience.
Can I just add on that and just say, as if any of us could have really realistically at the end of 2023 say that, like, Okada, Jay White, and Will Ospreay, we're all going to be just moving over to AEW is ridiculous.
Yeah, like I said, it's better, wouldn't it, you know?
I really wouldn't have, like, actually pictured that, to be honest. Like, not all in one go, do you know what I mean? And it's been consecutive. So it's been insane. It's been a whirlwind.
Yeah, no, it's once a... I mean, honestly, this doesn't happen. You know, like I said, guys like Okada don't usually leave in Japan. But, you know, usually New Japan do lose talent. They especially right after Wrestle Kingdom, it's prime time when people do leave, but like you said, the magnitude of people and then the way it all happened straight to the same promotion. I'm kind of grateful because I do get to see more of them in a different format than the New Japan format, but at the same time, I understand that New Japan is in right now, not necessarily in a state of flux, but it's just a lot of change is about to be coming around. And, you know, will it be a good change or will it be a bad change? I've seen a lot of differing opinions of where New Japan seem to be headed, whether it's because of the relationship with AEW or not. But it is kind of cool to still be able to see a bunch of your favorites from around the world now just pop up everywhere. So, I mean, wrestling just in general is way crazier than it's ever been in that retrospect.
Without a doubt. And it is an end of an era today, but my last... but by no means least. And now, the end is near. And so we face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I lived a life that's full. I've travelled each and every highway. And more, much more than this. Well, she actually did it her way. It is Gina. And again, it is an end of an era. All these New Japan wrestlers that we got used to are now leaving. We have to learn a whole different bunch. How's it going, love?
Definitely. For sure. Hey, team. But I'm totally feeling you all here. I mean, it feels like, you know, when you finally catch on to a trend and you're so excited because you've caught into the trend now, but everybody else is over it.
it kind of feels like that, like in a way, like I'm jumping on the New Japan bandwagon, but then they're all bloody moving to the other side where I just left. So it's like, okay, bye.
So we're in phase four, and we're asking to Monty, like, why is Tanahashi old? And yet we haven't, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I'm there with you.
But like I said, what a show we've got. We've got 2 months to catch up on. Of course, Okada's last match, Ospreay's last match, and Tama's last match. But who really cares, you know? We're going to start with Battle in the Valley, January 13th. And again, this is all being watched, and we're going to get through all this. Don't worry about that. So kickoff, strong survival match. Matt Vandergriff defeats Goldie, and Stephanie Vaquer defeats Viva Van. Then we get Shoot Rumino, Fred Rosso, and Jacob Fatu defeating Tim Felfi. It was nice to see Shooter actually winning, but Fred is not doing much in Japan since losing the title when Tim Felfi was in trouble with Tom wanting to show Fred some respect. As Shoot was leaving, a masked man attacked him in the crowd. It was revealed to be a bearded Jack Perry. He had an armband which read Scapegoat. He then attacked Umino so much so, and then tearing up his AEW contract. So, Gina, we saw Jack Perry at Wembley, and then not much since, and this is when he shows up. What were your thoughts on him appearing in New Japan?
I mean, I was totally thrown off guard, really, because I wasn't expecting it. Again, as you just said, we last saw him at Wembley, and we all know what went down there, and that caused Jack Perry to be taken off the screens and be, you know, suspended. So I think not everyone, but a lot of us were wondering when he was going to show back up on AEW screens, and it's clear it's not going to be for a long time because he's decided to fly to the other side of the world and appear in Japan instead. So I was totally thrown off, but I was quite excited by the aspect because, again, I did not see this coming. So I'm quite excited to see what stamp he's going to make in New Japan.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, it's going to be interesting. We move on with the card. Mascara, Dorado and Volador Jr. defeated Rocky Romero and Sobrano Jr. win a fun match. David Finlay defeated TJP. I wouldn't be surprised if we see these two clash again for gold in the future. The Strong Openweight Tag Team Championships, Grid of Destiny, Hikaleo and El Fantasma defeated Bullet Club War Dogs, Alec Coughlin and Clark Connors in a good match. Strong Women's Championship, Julia defeated Trish Redora to retain the title. And Julia looks like a star. Trish looked good as well. But Jaxie, again, we spoke about kind of Monty introducing us to this world. And one thing we're seeing a little bit more of is kind of different women's wrestling. You know, like I know the Joshi style, obviously we've got Stardom, but seeing New Japan and talents like Julia has been a really good development as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's just a different style of wrestling, like you rightly said. When we say different, it's intriguing. It's not like it's anything bad to compare to or anything, but it's different and it gives you a whole different opinion on women's wrestling. I think that Julia is a very interesting character, and I'm intrigued to see with how things progress without her career. There's a lot of discussion, rumours and everything about where she's going. I'm pretty sure it's WWE that's been confirmed, but I know that there was a lot of controversy, wasn't there, with someone from Stardom leaving and trying to start his... Am I right in this, Monty? Someone
we'll
like
cover
you...
that story in a little bit. Hopefully we get some Monty there. But again, okay. As you say,
I'll
just
need
the
Monty
talent...
to explain that.
Right. But as you said, like with the talent that we got, and we saw Mercedes Moné mix it up with them last year, it's not just kind of one style, is it, you know?
No, exactly. And I think that the Stardom notoriety is getting much bigger, and they're making much more of a scene right now that's taking impact. There's a lot of talent that is in Stardom right now, and it's very interesting to see where the doors will open for them, especially with how open we've seen New Japan like recently become. It really wouldn't surprise me if what we see some form of, you know, crossovers or some more versions of crossovers happening with the Stardom, the women of Stardom, and into more Western matches. So let's see how it goes.
Yeah, I completely agree. Move on. Mustafa Ali is coming to New Japan April 12th versus Takahashi, which would be a great match. The Chosen Bros, Matt Riddle and Jeff Cobb, defeated TMDK, Zack Sabre Jr., Bad Dude Tito. Yeah, they're jobbing out to the bro. But Riddle did look good, but the kind of graphic gave it away. We knew his partner would be. Continental Crown Championship, Eddie Kingston versus Gabe Kidd, ended in a no contest via double count out. Eddie was over like Rover. No DQ match. John Moxley defeated Shingo. I mean, again, to say Moxley was in a wild, hardcore match is not that much of a surprise, but still really good stuff. After the match, he cut a promo and he called out Naito, the world heavyweight champ, and said his time has come and is indeed being confirmed to happen at Windy City Riot. And then the main event, it is Kazuchika Okada versus Will Ospreay. But Monty, I haven't forgotten about you. this main event was special because the record going in was 7-2. But what I kind of want to know is, as short as you can maybe, is like the story of why Will Ospreay versus Okada is so important in New Japan.
Well, you know, again, I think it just goes back to their personal history. You have, like I said, Okada being the biggest star, where for a long time, Ospreay was like a little brother to him. Also, he chose Ospreay after they had a match. I think in Rare Pro, he liked the match so much, he told Ospreay he should come to New Japan. And that was pretty much the beginning of a long relationship where in the Super Junior division, Ospreay was the guy. And for Chaos for a time, and then of course Okada was the world champion until Ospreay, you know, wanted to usurp Okada. But they got a long history that kind of seemed like the best way to close out both of their time in New Japan. You know, again, I think that was kind of like the purpose of this match, because you have, like you said, two of the biggest stars in New Japan, one who was the big star for pretty much since 2012, another guy who they've watched go from the junior division to where he is now, and they're both leaving at the same time. I think it was just a great way to just, you know, give those guys one last clash for the fans. Kind of similar to what's going to happen with a match with Tanahashi with Okada. It's the same idea.
Well, again, this match was as good as you think it's going to be, you know, and again, not that much surprise there. Okada defeating Ospreay. Afterwards, them getting beaten up by the War Dogs, with Eddie Kingston making a save. And Ospreay cut show ending promo, thanking New Japan and Okada. And he said he's looking forward to getting out the American audience and plugged his final match in Osaka. Overall, it was quite a good show. And then January 19th, as we know, Okada officially leaving New Japan. And Jaxie, I know you're Okada's biggest fan, but again, we've talked about kind of maybe negative things for it, but there is positives because you're going to be seeing more of Okada than you would have done. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think I could have like quite a controversial opinion, somewhat, some might say, on this matter. I know it was very emotional for the people of Japan, the fans, you know, everyone watching to see Okada leave like a promotion that he's really like, grown up in, you know, gained the respect in and just really shone. But for me, this was pure excitement at what opportunity lays in front of Okada right now, not only from like, you know, the point of view of what you just said, like seeing him on weekly TV you know, us based in the UK or the US, but also from the point of view of like he's done a lot in New Japan and accomplished a lot, and now he's got more accomplishments that he can make in a different promotion, have different dream matches none of us actually expected would ever take place. You know, we'll talk a lot more, I think, going forward soon about Okada's journey and transition into like a Western promotion. But I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. I'm all here for it. And we'll get more into like, you know, what's working already about this for me. As we get into the pod, I think.
Well, January 20th, New Japan held their new beginning in the Nagoya show. It proved to be one of several endings and emotional goodbyes. House of Torture, Ren Narita and Yuhiro Takahashi defeated Shooter Umino and Tomoko Honma. Shooter lost again. Bullet Club War Dogs, Alec Cocklin, Gabe Kidd, Driller Maloney, Clark Connors and David Finlay defeated United Empire, with Finn pinning Callum. War Dogs added insult to injury. House of Torture show and Calamaro defeated El Desperado and Master Watto. TMDK, Zack Sabre Jr., Mikey Nicholas, Shane Hayes, and Cozy Future defeated Okada, Tanahashi, Ishii, and McCabe. Okada waved goodbye to the fans after this match, but Monty, the young boy, came good. I mean, Zack got the win with a submission, but again, it's another story that I quite like New Japan are telling, with the young boy of the Mighty Don't Kneel coming forward now during the kind of Okada's last days.
Yeah, you know, he's another guy who just kind of ascended, you know, right at the end of Okada's, like you said, run. It's kind of crazy. But Kosei Fujita is a really, really talented. He's a guy who he didn't take much time away when he went on excursion to Australia with TMDK, and basically went on a couple tours. He came back pretty much a changed man almost, and not wearing the black tights anymore, and kind of doing his own thing. And like you said, he was impressive here, and it was just one, like you said, New Japan loves to try to, you know, to the best of their ability. That I love the transition that they, when a guy comes off excursion and the run or the identity developing process, sometimes it takes time. Like, for example, Master Watto, at first, you didn't really see much to him, but as he wrestled more, he actually got way more popular. Like, it takes time sometimes, but I think I love how, like you mentioned, the effort they put into, you know, trying to get the next generation of stars legitimized, even if they don't always win.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though, isn't it? That's what makes it fun. Anyway, we see Just Five Guys, Sanada, Takamichi. Oh, well, you know who Just Five Guys are. It'll be all night. Beating Los Ingobernables, Sanada got the win for his team. And Monty, we're going to go from the sublime to the ridiculous, because we've got Great Okan versus Taji Ishimori. Please. Again, you never told me.
Did you
me.
Watch this whole thing?
Oh, mate, I'm in for it. Do you know what I'm saying? So we're going to explain, made from Jack's Gin and everybody who, you know, with Meltzer and everybody out talk about how good Japan is, we forget the quality here. There was obviously arguments about how the match would happen. Both of them had different ideas. You know, Akan kind of wanted a bull rope death match. Ishimori wanted a 10-minute Ishimori ring fit match. In the match, the last to hold the belt via decision after 10 minutes will win. However, at 3-minute intervals, both competitors will have to undergo 30 seconds of high-intensity circuit training. It was put on a vote on New Japan. And, of course, Ring Fit won. So this was Shulte versus Fatso. And as the first break approached, Ishimori fled Okan, winding him before the first cardio session. Ishimori finished his first cardio with ease, while Okan took a little longer. Ishimori sprinted through the second workout, while Okan was doing squats until the allotment time ended. In the third period, Okan fell to his knees from exhaustion. He begged referee to spare him for the cardio, which he struggled to do. During the last period, Ishimori kept him grounded with 10 seconds remaining. He was running away from him. But what we didn't know, as Okan dropped to the mat, he was holding the title. And as the rules state, it was the last person to touch the belt holding the championship. Monty, explain yourself here. What is this ridiculousness?
Exactly what it sounds like. That's what I mean. The KFPW is the insane belt. Think of it like, think of it like the 24/7 championship, but it's even crazier because you can just put whatever crazy stipulation you want on it. Hey, the fans in Japan voted for it, so like, I can't even sit there and act like, oh my goodness, what was Gato thinking? Like, they could have win that match. Or I guess they could have did something else. All right. But maybe they didn't want to see the brutality. And they were just interested because this is the first time I ever seen anything like this in my life. But I had a good chuckle, but it did go a while. And I was like, okay. But then once I was confused by the finish and they had to explain it, no, last guy touching. I was like, oh, my goodness. I feel like I just wasted my life. But no, it was great. It was funny. I give him that. I did give him a chuckle.
I love everything about this. Like, don't get me wrong. I can't win.
It's like R-Truth, you know? Like, you need that in your wrestling, yeah. I guess, you know?
We're going to get on to it as well. Guerrillas of Destiny, El Fantasma and Hikaleo defeated Bullet Club, Kenta and Chase Owens. In strong openweight tag titles. Better teams, please. Evil defeated Tama Tonga for the Never Openweight Championship in a lumberjack match. Oh, my God. This was bad. False start ensured a ton of unnecessary interference. Oh, God. Tama hit Tama in the back, leaving Evil free to land. Everything is evil. Evil pinned Tama, winning a match and a title. With a teary-eyed Tama saying goodbye. Now, Gina, I'm pretty sure you liked House of Torture last time. But, Evil and these shenanigans have to stop. They are ruining professional wrestling, you know? I can't believe Evil is champion.
Yeah, I mean, definitely didn't see that coming. And in terms of just, you know, I'm a bit biased towards Tama. So, for me, I was like, really disappointed. And I was actually kind of not pro House of Torture, but I didn't mind them. And in this match, I did find I was being bothered by them. Just, you know, it's just an irritating bug. And you're just like, okay, maybe I'm kind of getting over House of Torture now.
Well, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better. We have backstage comments as well. With Akala saying, I can tell you one thing about the future of New Japan. It's not a chance. It's a crisis. Next generation can't just think, oh, this is our chance. They have to step up and save the company. That coming from a man who gave 2 weeks notice. I mean, Jaxi, are you still going to defend Okada? I'm going to come back to you hard in this one about him. But surely saying that is going to set panic in.
Saying what, sorry?
He's saying... Basically, it's not a chance. It's a crisis. The next generation needs to step up and save the company. That's how bad it is.
Well, I mean, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. I would actually, personally for me, I actually would argue that I do believe that there is young talent that can carry this company. So clearly he doesn't agree with that. I do not stand up by that. But there's nothing to actually dispute with my man over. I mean, he's still number one.
All right. Well, we're going to try and break you during this show. Yeah, exactly. And people have a go at me for McIntyre. I'm just stating a case here. January 23rd, Master Wato revealed he had sustained a torn ACL. Estes Desperado made the save when Show attacked him. United Empire defeated Bullet Club War Dogs. And then Bullet Club, Kenta, Tajiri, Chase Owens defeat Guerrillas of Destiny, Hikaleo, Jado, and El Fantasma. TMDK defeated Tomohiroshi, Tanahashi, Honma, and Okada. After the match, Okada bowed to the fans in attendance. Zach got the win by submission again. Our favourite House of Torture defeated Shooter, Tama Tonga, and Togi. I mean, Ren got the win on Yuhiro, but again, Shooter's still not picking up the victories. Just Five Guys defeated Los Ingobernables de Japón, with Taichi getting a win for his team, pinning Bushi. And the Junior Heavyweight Championship, El Desperado defeated Yoshinobu Kanemura. Backstage comments, I love Ishimori. Monty, please explain. I mean, we can go into detail about the Junior Heavyweight Championship if you want, but why is Kenta kissing the cameraman? And why is this my favourite gimmick now? Please tell me. I'm interested.
If you just go, you're just watching the backstage comments of at this point now. Kenta, for some reason, for the last 2 years, had this weird relationship with the cameraman. And a different cameraman, I guess, be back there. I don't know. It's one he calls fatty. He bullies him all the time. He's completely delusional. Honestly, like, he went on all types of crazy rants at the cameraman. I don't know why he's so nice and kissing him. I guess because, you know, he's winning a little bit more now, but I don't know. I don't know why he's nice right now. He's usually very, very mean to the cameraman. But this is a bit that I agree is just increasingly entertaining. I don't know how he comes. I think he's just spitballing. This is just Kenta being Kenta, because there's no purpose. He doesn't usually have it. Like, he uses it to boost some of his views, but for the most part, it's just delusional Kenta talking to the cameraman. But he's the only one. It's nothing like him, man. Like I said, I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know where all
if
this
he showed that
come from.
In NXT, he would have got off a lot better. I'm not going to lie. Like,
exactly.
Honestly, this is brilliant. He's and hilarious. Then again, you watch him, you go, oh fuck. But backstage, great. January 24th, we see Zack Sabre Jr. beating Tiger Mask for Zack, winning by submission. 8-man tag team match. Junior heavyweight champion El Desperado Tama Tonga, Honma and Yo lost to House of Torture. After the match, Show hit Desperado in the head with a junior heavyweight title. Then Show unties the mask and rips it. Ran to the back holding his trophy. Some young lions at ringside covered Desperado's head. 10-man tag team match, United Empire versus Bullet Club War Dogs. Connor's got the win. And good thing, too, he had a bollocking the day before for being pinned. I mean, that is always lucky. 6-man tag match, Los Ingobernables de Japan, which was Shingo, Tsuji, and Bushi versus Taka, Uemura, and Taichi. Shingo hit the pumping bomber for a near fall, then immediately hit a standing powerbomb to get the win, with Yuta and Yota kept fighting afterwards. Los Ingobernables, which was Naito and Takahashi versus Sanada and Doki. Doki, I always get it wrong, because it's like it's Doki Pokey. You always got to remember it. Doki hits Takahashi with a Jorge Rivera special for the win. And the never open weight 6-man tag titles, Tanahashi, Okada and Ishii versus Mikey Nichols, Shane Hayes, Fujita. Tanahashi hits a sling blade and Ishii hits a sliding clothesline. Okada hits a dropkick on Fujita. Top elbow drop, then a rainmaker for the win. After the match, Okada shook hands with everyone. He hugged Zack Sabre Jr. Then he got the mic through, finished his first sentence and he was crying. He posed with Ishii and Tanahashi as he showed off their never open weight 6-man tag titles. Then the camera panned to Yano and Hashi as they were doing commentary, and Okada shook hands with them and he waved at the fans as he left. Jaxie, come to you, because I'm going to come to you about Okada as well. Again, he should have dropped the titles, shouldn't he? Like, to leave as champion, it's not like he's retiring. He's deciding to go elsewhere for more money.
Yeah, I mean, again, I just kind of feel like I don't know why people do it this way. Like, you should really kind of drop the titles if you're leaving, or in that's how I view things. So this to me was like quite strange to kind of like leave as the champion. But then again, like they do that as well in AEW. So I don't really. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just an interesting choice, you know, but again, he's getting so emotional as well. And it's like, why are you leaving if you get so emotional then? Why don't you stay?
Yeah, well, especially with what we've got to, you know, like kind of what we've seen in more recent times, which we'll get to as well. I mean, that plays a big part in this as well, and it leaves you questioning, well, was there any reason for all this emotion, behind all this emotion?
No, it's true. But the Young Guns have the main event, Shooter Umino versus Ren Narita. Of course, Evil and Dick Togo appeared at ringside. Ref got knocked out. House of Torture stomped on Umino. Togo hits a knife-edge chop to Umino's groin. Yes, it's Dick on Dick content. I don't like it, but still, it's funny. The lights came back on. Tama Tonga was in the ring. Evil hit a low blow on Tonga. Then El Desperado ran into the ring and hit Pinch a Low on Show. Well, Tonga hits Gunslung and Evil. A lot of shit going on. Umino then hit another Death Rider for the win. And Tama wants Shooter to be Evil for the never open weight title. I hope he does. Gina, these two young guns, we've seen a lot of Ren Narita and Shooter Umino. Do you think they delivered in the main event slot here? Do you think they're ready to take on the mantle that Okada is passing to them?
I mean, I don't think I'm the best person to answer this because I don't feel like I've watched it long enough to be able to call, yeah, this person definitely could take the mantle. I definitely couldn't picture them both in a Okada position at this moment in time, but I do think they're on their way to doing that. I really did enjoy the beef between these two. And I kind of am still intrigued to see what more they're both going to give and whether this is going to be an ongoing thing that they'll come back to again. You know, it's I don't know. Again, I don't know if I'm the best person because I feel more of a noob when it comes to New Japan. So my views definitely might not match up with a lot of veterans. But for me, I enjoyed the match. I thought it was a good match between them and I thought it was a good main event. But I wouldn't say they're a Okada level just yet.
Well, backstage comments. Don't tell Kenta his hair looks like Yoshihashi. Someone did and got in big trouble. Finn told Gabe to shut up as well. Ishii got upset. Shooter says he's the ace. I wonder where you get that idea from. And then there was a great documentary in New Japan World as well, the history of the United Empire. And I thought Monty as well. It's weird. Apart from Okan joining and Will turning on Okada, I'd seen everything of them, basically. And it's weird to see TJP turning on Clark Connors looking back on it.
Right, yeah. I think that's why it was funny when you mentioned, you know, some people earlier just on the Battle in the Valley, Fred Rosser and all that. Just that entire little era that really held a lot of people down on New Japan Strong. It just seemed like they've been a forgotten wing when it comes to what's been going on in Japan. Yeah, it's really weird, like you mentioned, the few people that are there now who was in Strong to think about the past. But, man, they're blood enemies now, so it's kind of cool to see the opposite end of that spectrum, too.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. February 4th, Road to New Beginning, Evil Show, Ren and Takahashi with Kanemura defeating Togi Makabe. I've just butchered that name, I know. El Desperado, Shoot Umino, Bolton Oleg and Yoshihashi. Chase Owens, Taji Shimori, Kenta defeated Honma, El Phantasma and Hikuleo. Zack Sabre Jr., Mikey Nichols, Shane Haste and Fujita defeated Tanahashi, Ishii, Yo and Taguchi, with Zack getting the win, that's right, by submission. Bushi, Takashi, Tsuji, Shingo and Aito lost to just five guys when Yura made Yota tap with a bit of a surprise. Jeff Cobb was originally supposed to wrestle Alex Coughlin on the show. However, Cobb sustained a thigh injury and was placed by Great O'Khan. They also ran an angle with Cobb was attacked by the Bullet Club during an autograph session. Great O'Khan did defeat Alex Coughlin. It was big meaty men slapping meat. Speaking of which, Hanari versus Gabe Kidd was a draw after both wrestlers were knocked out. I mean, Monty, the exchanges between the two here.
Man.
Fuck me.
Yeah, man. I love it, bro. Like, this was just pure violence. Like, this was just physical, man. They beat the hell out of each other. It was a lot of anger there. Like, they made it really... If these two guys were friends outside of the ring, I'd be really shocked, because they fought like this is like they were just trying to hurt each other. It was really, really fun to just see them test each other. And I thought the draw was actually a perfect ending, just because of how much that they were really like the big shots. After a while, it just, you know, no one had the energy to pin each other. So, like, yeah, it was an absolutely fantastic fight. Anytime these two do anything so far, it's just been really, really compelling stuff. Yeah, man, this is great here, and a great sign of what's to come in that United Empire, War Dog blood feud that they had going.
God. Like I said, and even the build up, watching these road shows, which I hadn't done maybe in the past, and you get the little bits, you know, of kind of like the War Dog's dominance leading into this, you know, even with like the attacks and Ospreay's absence from this tour. David Finley,
yeah, Callum, they build Newman really well to the big matches.
Yeah, without a doubt. And again, like I said, even with the matches that happened, Finlay defeated Callum Newman, Driller Maloney and Clark Connors defeating Akira and TJP to win the junior heavyweight tag titles. Was that a little bit of a surprise at that point, Monty, considering that team had just won it at Wrestle Kingdom?
Yeah, it was. But, you know, once I thought about it, I knew at the end of the day, it's one guy that's not even on this tour so far, which is a good reason, also a good storyline reason why the United Empire struggled on this tour, really. Will Ospreay wasn't here. So, like, I'm like, okay, maybe they have ideas of using TJP, which, you know, which does seem like what they wanted to do, use TJP in the heavyweight division. Then I understand. It doesn't seem like it's something that they planned for, if you see what I'm trying to say, when they made them champions at Wrestle Kingdom, if you see what I'm saying. But Will being gone probably forced their hand to be like, you know what? Not the fact that they didn't know Will would be gone, but you know what I mean? It's just, I think O'Connor being gone made you be like, we need more people in our heavyweight division. You know what I mean?
This is the thing as well. But again, speaking even about the Bullet Club and United Empire leading into the big matchup, even with Akira, who, you know, is generally scared to be into that matchup because of the attack he has sustained before.
Right.
And as we see, Bullet Club powerbombing him on a bunch of chairs. You know, so again, you're thinking, shit, would he make the match? Will United Empire have any fit people for it? And speaking of injuries, though, Dan Maloney. I mean, I like Maloney as well, a bit like Gabe Kidd. He's got a kind of English toughness. And I don't know about you, Jaxie, or not, but he said he tore his fucking bicep off the bone. He said, get a little close up. Here's the thing. They didn't raise no bitches. They raised dogs. But again, if he's wrestling with a bicep off the bone, that's fucking mental, isn't
it? Yeah. I mean, wasn't that very similar to what happened to Cody Rhodes and that thing went all purple? Is that very, is that like the same injury?
Or was it I think Cody did his pick, but it's a similar type of pain type of deal where it's like...
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, he's been wearing that wrap around his arm, but I don't even know if that's enough to do all the stuff that they were. This is before the cage match. Where he's talking about tearing his bicep. So, yeah, I can only imagine. Like, I don't know, man. Do we still get cool points for being this tough? Like, I love it. Like, that's tough. But I don't know what – I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I'd be like, go get surgery, bro. Go get surgery.
A different level of like violence that has just really sort of taken over within New Japan lately. So yeah, hopefully he recovers soon because I can only imagine the type of pain that could cause.
Without a doubt. We move on to February 5th. Katsuya Mashima versus Shoma Kato went to a 10-minute time limit draw. Bullet Club, Chase Owens, Kenta, and Ishimori defeat Gridders of Destiny, El Fantasma, Hikaleo, and Jado. El Desperado, Oleg Boten, Shoot Umino, Honma, and Yo defeated House of Torture. TMDK, which of course was Fujita, Nicholas, Haste, and Sabre, defeated Chaos, Ishii, Yanu, Tanahashi, and McCabe. And guess what? Zach won by submission again. I mean, Gina, I don't want to bring it up because it feels like I bring it up in every New Japan show. But Zach is picking up a hell of a lot of victories. I don't give anything away, but I think he picks up quite a big one on this episode as well. And he looks like he could be one of the big stars of New Japan. Just, why didn't you, you know?
Did you say Jack or Zach?
I said Zach. Do you know a wrestler called Jack Sabre Jr.?
No, I thought you were talking about Jack Perry. So I was like, wait, was it Jack or Zach that you were talking about? Sorry. But no, I get what you mean. You ask me every pod about Zach, okay? Look, we had a minor grievance between ourselves, okay? But aside from that, I respect him as a wrestler. He's just not my favourite. That's all. You know, his attitude could be taken elsewhere. But either way, you know, I feel like Zack Sabre Jr., this still ain't the, you know, he's still got a lot to give New Japan. That's how I feel about him at this moment in time.
A lot to give.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Callum Newman, Akira, Hanare, and TJP defeated the Bullet Club War Dogs in absolute chaos. Speaking of chaos, Faction Warfare Gauntlet, Los Inglobales, dear. Happen. Defeated just five guys. Sanada and Naito started and it ended in a 10-minute draw. Winner stays on type of match, which was cool. So we kind of went through it. Last two were Tsuji and Uemura. With Uemura found his Frankensteiner on Tsuji, but it was a gene blast. So that tore through just five guys member and gave victory to LIJ. He said the Saint must be on the line. A line must be drawn between the two and Saint must be put up between the two on February 24th. And it was in a hair versus hair match. And looking back, I mean, Tsuji has had quite the month. And again, the man standing in the big faction warfare match, Monty.
Yeah, man. He really seemed to be trying to redeem himself from losing to Uemura. This is a great, like you said, great concept. It was cool to kind of see both factions kind of put against each other to this extent in a unique way, you know, and the way this match came down, it ended up being really, really cool just to see everything go. Even the draw that Naito and Sonata had was a good precursor to what they would go to do. So, I thought the whole entire concept of the gauntlet match was great. But this entire, what Tsuji seemed to be doing and just what he's continuing to do is, like you said, differentiate himself from the rest of the pack of the young guns that's been coming out. Kind of like how Shota Umino has been kind of falling short. Tsuji has been kind of pushing ahead nicely. So I think it's a lot going on, but I think him and Uemura's feud was so personal because they've always been evenly matched. Losing at Wrestle Kingdom is making Tsuji go into another place, and I think you kind of saw that in their contest in this match too. But again, I just love the concept. It was a great preview for what you were going to get on the 24th.
Yeah, and another thing as well, watching the kind of Road 2 shows rather than, you know, and it's tag matches in, and you see the kind of gain of momentum, picking up victories and stuff like this, leaning into the bigger matches. So it is quite, again, I always wondered if there'd be like a Raw and SmackDown, and this is the closest thing, you know, these kind of Road 2 shows, and because you do get a little bit extra as well. But again, you can still just check out the main stuff, which is really, really good. Anyway, on to news, and Monty, again, to you to explain to us about Stardom founder Rossy Ogawa is no longer employed with the parent company. Bushiroad stated the reason was because they learned he had poached many Stardom players and staff. They released a statement saying since 2019, the company has entered into contract. The founder of Stardom's point is the executive producer. We come to know he's poached many Stardom players and staff. We decided to cancel his contract. We apologise for any inconvenience that may cause you. They didn't wish him well in future endeavours. Monty, what's the story here? Because, again, not really sure. Jackson mentioned it early. Please explain to us.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked just like everybody else. I mean, this is like the founder of Stardom, the one who basically discovered most of these, you know, Io Shirai, Kyrie, most of these women that you're starting to see grow more prominent in the United States from Stardom, like a Julia, were brought in by Rossi. So, you know, he claims that what Bushiroad said happened is not what, you know, happening. You know, he's starting his own promotion, but he wasn't poaching anything. He was being asked he was being asked about his spot at his promotion, which I guess is kind of to say that's how bad the culture was getting around and Stardom because of Bushiroad. I don't know. It's a mess. You gotta just kind of pick like who you believe, what don't you believe. Either way it go, he is out of there, and it seems like he is starting his new promotion. Julia, when she leaves Stardom, before she's supposed to go to WWE, at least is what everybody's reporting. I don't know what's gonna happen. It's supposed to be part of that new promotion with Rossi and a couple of other girls may leave Stardom. Also in the process, even though we do know main names of Stardom right now seemingly are still going to be signed, like the IWGP Women's Champion, Mai Iwatani. You know, she just put out a movie, a biopic through Bushiroad, so she ain't going nowhere at least until that's, done and over with. So, yeah, they kind of got her locked down, and it's other ladies who want to stay. Then, of course, like I said, it's going to be certain women who leave and go to Rossi's new promotion. But, yeah, it's real messy, man, real messy. A lot of, like I said, he say, she say stuff. You just kind of, you know, I guess it's somewhere in the middle. Like, maybe he wasn't poaching, or so, maybe, you know, word had got out somehow. So something happened.
Again, not to show my age here or anything else, but as you know, it's like kind of wrestling historian. To go back, even like, you know, VCW days, you know, and when all that kind of stuff, Todd Gordon basically kind of like ringing, you know, saying to WCW, I can get you this talent. It's nothing like that, really. It's just he wants to go work elsewhere and the talent, you know what I mean, are interested rather.
Yeah, he's already, he's a bit like Scott DeMore
with TNA, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a great example. I think that's why I think overall I was just talking about how insane wrestling is in general right now. You got that in a situation where, you know, he kind of get ousted. We know where Vince at. The fact that Vince is not doing anything with WWE anymore, whatever that's been reported, You got that situation. So to have all of this stuff going on in wrestling at the same time in a matter of years is insane. Because that's what I want to say about Ross. He's to that level. He was the brainchild for a lot of the concepts of what Stardom is and was, has a lot to do with him. So it's insane. But, you know, that's like you said, that's the state of wrestling. Scott Moore being replaced is a perfect example of just how this thing just keep going, man. Every day is something new.
Well, to be fair, the only person not to be placed in a major company over like the last 4 or 5 years has been Tony Khan. So, and again, I'm not saying anything for the next year. So who knows? we'll move on. February 11th, Will's last match. TMDK, Shane Haste and Mikey Nichols provided colour commentary and they were very, very good. Toriyano and Yo defeated Bolton, Oleg and Risu Taguchi. Bisherman, which of course Goto and Yoshihashi defeated Callum Newman and Great O'Khan. House of Torture, Evil, Narita Show and Takahashi defeated El Desperado, Shooter, Tiger Mask and Honma, with Show pinning Tiger Mask. Evil spray painted an X on Shooter's chest afterwards. I mean, could you be more like the fucking NWO? I know, like, the Bullet Club and stuff like that. Jesus Christ, you know? Anyway, Just Five Guys defeated Los Ingobernables and Arbless, with Just Five Guys dropping Bushi with five Tannen boots. LRJ hit the ring next, leading to a back and forth until Sanada locked Bushi into a swinging skull end, forced him to tap. And then Kazuchika Okada versus Hiroshi Tanahashi. Another great match between the two. Tanahashi tried to escape, but Okada landed the Rainmaker, with Okada obviously pinning him. Afterwards, they embraced. Okada then took a moment to soak up the action from the crowd, for bowing to the line mark with tears in his eyes. I mean, I may not have seen the start, but I did see the end. Jaxie, what were your thoughts on this? Because I'm going to ask Monty in a minute, like, kind of important to this matchup. But again, we might not have been able to start, but we've seen the end of this now between these two guys.
Yeah, I mean, it was all kinds of emotions. And as you said, we weren't there from the start, but we saw it from the end. And I think anyone who even, you know, remotely got into New Japan late, or, you know, looking at the factions late, anyone can tell how much emotion was, like, put into that match. It was absolute carnage. And, you know, everywhere you looked, there was just so much going on. I think the moment that got to me the most was towards the very, very end, with Will just kind of like trying to pull Akira to safety. There was something about that moment that was just so emotional, you know? So yeah, that got to me. It was really tough to watch that match, to be honest.
I mean, Monty, why is Tanahashi and Okada so important to New Japan, you know?
Yeah, it's like you got one guy who's the current ace in Okada, who's leaving the company. Again, Tanahashi, I don't think I can ever see imagine a day where he wouldn't be in New Japan. He's just that guy. But, yeah, that's why I say this doesn't happen often. But it's very important, like you mentioned, because this is the one of the main rivals. Like, I know Okada and Omega is a famous one, and probably more famous because of what it did to bring more international viewers to New Japan. But that before that, the main feud and one of, and some of the best matches at Wrestle Kingdom, or just in New Japan in general, were every time Tanahashi and Okada clashed. You know, Okada debuted as the Rainmaker in 2012, and then he challenged Tanahashi, beat him on his very first try, and Tanahashi was untouchable pretty much for a long time at that point. So the back and forth they went through over the years to culminate into this, like you said, emotional clash where, again, one of the greatest of all time, with the greatest of all time in that company's history, just, or if you could do vice versa, that's how great their careers have been. But, you know, Tanahashi is just, he's the president now. So it's just a lot of things. It was a great to be a new beginning. I think that was the perfect name to do this at, because this was the end of this chapter, and with Tanahashi in his role and Okada going to America. Yeah, man, this is definitely a fitting end to a beautiful story that's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, no, it's really well done. IWGP Tag Team Championship, Bullet Club, Chase Owens and Kenta versus Gorillas of Destiny. Of course, ELP and Hikaleo. Owen saved the match by pulling the referee to the floor. Ishimori hit the ring with a belt in hand, dropping Hikaleo and leaving Kenta free to pin him. Owen threw the referee back in and Bullet Club win. Owens and Kenta are tag champions.
Yeah, great.
What a team, you know. One bloke kept shouting Kenta, though, which I did find quite funny. Anyway, next match, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Bryan Danielson. And very few matches actually come even close to what these two men delivered. Hyper-focused war filled with compelling work, bell to bell. If you haven't seen this, go and watch it. All match, no separation in the middle of the ring. I loved this. Danielson landed his knee strike. Zack reversed the second, leaned to a pair of trading quick pin attempts. Ultimately, Zack won the exchange strap and Danielson with shoulders down to eke out a win. Now, Gino, I'll ask you this again. Forget about personal with Zack. Right here, he showed he is in the conversation for best wrestler in the world. Because if anything, you could say he may be outworking Danielson a little bit. And I know people might argue with that, but I don't know what you think.
Well, I definitely agree to some level with you there. Like, one thing I will say is you asked me earlier about the other two guys, whether they were maybe performing at a Okada level. If you ask me, Zach is, you know, and he proved that with this match alone. Bryan Danielson is literally known as one of the best in the world, especially being technical. Zach made it look like Bryan Danielson wasn't that much of a formidable foe, whereas against any other foe that Bryan Danielson has gone against, he just looks unbeatable. But Zach looked like he could counter it. And like you said, you know, could you potentially say that Zach is potentially even better at this moment? I'm not sure. I don't want to go there and give him that much of a ego boost, but I will say that he's on those lines. You know, it was such a great match and you couldn't take your eyes off of it. Like, again, you couldn't split them apart. It was counter after counter after counter. And yeah, it was just a great match.
Yeah, there was no kind of like massive bumps, you know, tables or stuff like that. It was just kind of pure wrestling between the two. And after the match, Zach offered a handshake to Danielson. Again, this is, I will agree there, Danielson being one of the greatest of all times, because even the kind of hesitating momentarily and you're thinking, oh, don't do it, and then shaking his hand and literally kind of like raising his arm in a way, and Zach gesturing a missing belt on his waist and he calling out the win of Sanada versus Naito. Really, really good stuff. And then the main event, Bullet Club War Dogs, which of course was Alex Coughlin, Clark Connors, David Finlay, Driller Maloney, Gabe Kidd, versus United Empire, Francisco Akira, Henare, Jeff Cobb, TJP, and Will Ospreay in his last match. The cage wasn't very tall, but it did circle the ring, leaving plenty of room to fight on the floor. Also, the Logan was taken off the ring. I mean, Jackson, what are your thoughts first on the setup? Because, I don't know, like, it was an interesting concept, I think.
I think it just kind of looked very much like grungy. And I think that was the setting that they may have been trying to kind of like portray, like this is just going to be carnage, you know. It kind of reminded me, like, you know, of like an outside prison cell type thing that you would find like outside.
Yeah.
So yeah, like that's the vibe I got, you know.
Yeah, without a doubt. That's it. Interesting to see something different. Of course, Ospreay and Finlay started for the teams. Ospreay wanted 10 minutes instead of 2. Finlay compromised, giving him 5. After the first pin expired, Ospreay had the lead. Maloney entered the match, dragging a lifeless Callum Newman to the cage. He handcuffed Newman to the cage wall. From here, the War Dogs began to beat down Ospreay, whipping him into the cage. Henare hit the ring to even the numbers. With Henare's help, Ospreay was able to regain footing. Connors entered next, again shifting momentum. Connors used a barbed wire wrapped fist to draw copious amounts of blood from Ospreay's forehead. TJP was next. He entered the ring and wrapped his boot in barbed wire. He stopped Connors drawing more blood. TJP's presence was enough to swing momentum back in United Empire's favour. Before we go on as well, I just want to say, I mean, Gina, like, we used to kind of like talk about Zack Sabre Danielson. These two, like, again, these two teams were bleeding buckets and it wasn't even like 15 minutes in, you know. It's like they've watched War Games and they're going, let's up it, you know.
are definitely, I think even when I was watching this, I said they've probably watched War Games and said, okay, let's do this, but times 100. You know, let's raise it to the max. Let's just get straight into it. We don't need a build up. Let's just get straight into the action, you know? And that's how this match felt.
Well, even like I'm looking at Alex Coughlin come to the ring and I'm going, is he carrying chairs? And he literally had like the front row of chairs in his arms, just kind of coming along.
I remember us next to the chairs at the end of the event, you know? He looked like he was waiting and helping them out at the end.
Yeah, instead of burying a pile of chairs on side of TJP, Akira was next to enter. He leapt from the top of the cage immediately to catch the War Dogs off guard. And he rang the gauntlet until Connors landed a spear, driving him through a table. War Dog momentum continued as Kid entered the match. He helped take out every member of UE, posted with his faction mates over a bloody Osprey. At this point, though, we should say Red Shoes had to go get help for Hanare. Because what we didn't see was Hanare, I think, was just... I mean, Monty, I'm not 100% sure. I think it was a bit of table that lodged in his head. And literally, it was buckets of blood. This was actually really, really scary, you know, in a world where they should have maybe just said to him, just go to the back, you know?
He's an animal, man. He just wrapped it up and just like went right back to it. Like nothing was wrong. Like, yeah, no, it was a freak type of deal. Like, I didn't see it clearly myself. I rewind like 3-4 times trying to figure out exactly what happened. But I think when Gabe Kidd came in and threw a table, one of those wooden tables, maybe like you said, part of the table scraped him up pretty bad, and he was bleeding. You know, it was really, really rough. And then, think about that once in a lifetime imagery. Like, he had to miss the rest of the tour. Like, he had other responsibilities. Probably was going to be in the New Japan Cup, but he had to miss that. So he did really, really lose a lot of blood and mess himself up. But it was a badass look.
Well, I don't want to say the bandage made him look like he had toothache. But again, he had that look on his face where you didn't know. He didn't know where the fuck he was.
He didn't know what he was doing.
Like, unbelievable. Yeah. And this again, the referees are probably telling him to go, and he's like, do you want to fight? Do you know what I mean? Like, so again, what do you do?
So I agree.
Cobb came in next and managed to take out all the War Dogs. The rest of UE began to rally around Cobb's entrance. The sidestep spear set Connors crashed through into the table. TJP emerged from nowhere as the Aswang. He helped Akira rally, taking out the standing War Dog. I mean, Jaxie, again, this is cool because we talked about TJP and this Aswang character. And again, coming from like the kind of buried in the chairs to kind of help his team out was a great moment.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, I wondered whether or not he'd come out different, you know? Especially with what we've seen come from TJP. So it was a very cool moment. The anticipation was there. You know, we knew he had been taken out that way. So very, very cool moment.
Without doubt, we see Cobb handcuffed to the cage. Connors covered the floor with tacks. He tried driving TJP into the tacks, but of course TJP reversed. Gato carried a barbed wire wrapped table to the ring after UE failed to put down Ospreay. Greater Khan attacked Gato, taking his key, which he used to free Cobb and Newman. Maloney interrupted Ospreay's advance by stabbing him with a fork, as you do. Kid then hit Ospreay with pile driver through a ladder, which was just fucking nuts. Maloney also stabbed Akira with a fork. But again, Monty, I mentioned this year, Akira fighting back, taking control of the fork, and just losing, going, literally, I don't want to scream too much, but like this. And just like attacking everybody. It's fantastic, you know? It's like, my boy, my boy.
Yeah, I think he's been underneath this story, the growth in this entire beef. You know, the beatings he's taken, you know, you can see that he was just going off, all out. It was a great moment in this match, like you mentioned, to kind of wrap up his little arc of, you know, not that he was afraid, but, you know, it's just he had took so much damage that now you can see.
They pushed him too far.
Right, yeah, made him, exactly. So he's young, so I can't wait. I think this storyline really benefited him probably the most in the Empire.
Yeah, without doubt. And you see him hanging Connors, you know, with the dog collar as well. What a visual that is. The War Dogs, though, cleared the ring and removed the apron. Inari interrupted the War Dogs here. I don't know how. Driving Kidd into the exposed boards. Coughlin then pulled Inari to the outside and handcuffed him back to the cage for his own safety. Kidd attempted a suplex on exposed wood, but was cut off by Kidd. Kidd then power drove Akira into the boards, forcing Ospreay to make the save. And Gina, I don't know about you, but with the boards in the ring and the way they were slipping, I thought someone's going to break their fucking leg here in a minute. I couldn't believe how dangerous it was. Yes. You know what I mean?
Definitely. You couldn't, without the warning of something just in the way. And I will admit, like, throughout the whole match, I was going, just because I couldn't think of all the near misses of, like, people just slipping or just falling and hurting themselves even more than Aaron Henare did.
Yeah, that poor bastard. But it was, speaking of poor bastards, it was Will Ospreay on his own versus the All of War Dogs. Finley dared Ospreay to hit him, but Ospreay collapsed when he attempted the sling blade. Ospreay was then hit with a spear. Finally, Finley hit his new finish and pinned Ospreay to win the match. Once the War Dogs left the ring low, UE came together to pick up Ospreay. He then grabbed a microphone and cut his farewell promo. He thanked everyone in the crowd and promised he would return. He asked the crowd not to forget him for signing off one last time. UE was shouting confetti as they embraced. So a couple of things there. First off, Jaxie, what are your thoughts on that match? Because, again, compare it to War Games, but this was fucking balls to the wall.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if we didn't think that, if we went into this match thinking that they couldn't top what they did in War Games, then we were, like, pleasantly surprised, you know, because we were very mistaken in that front. Like I said earlier, just hit all the emotions, regardless as to whether or not you've seen them from the very beginning of United Empire to the end. Towards the end, as you said, Will Ospreay taking on the whole of the War Dogs was just absolutely insane. There was so much emotion behind it, and altogether, this was a brilliant match. It just ended, like, tragically, you know? It's so sad. I look forward to, like, kind of seeing redemption from United Empire, even with Will gone.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? And, Gina, I mean, what do you think about Will Ospreay saying goodbye, you know? Because, again, he gave everything in this matchup, you know? And I think you showed with how the crowd and his teammates were. This wasn't like even Okada leaving in a way. It was like Ospreay got the goodbye, and I thought everything kind of worked together as well. It's kind of the right way to go in a weird way. Would that be right to say?
Yeah, I definitely feel like, don't ask me. I think the word is sadist or something like that, that you want to describe me as. But I feel like if people are leaving a company, it's better to kind of leave it them going out on a bad note, if that makes sense, as in losing their match, because then you always got the chance of them coming back for a miraculous, you know, one special match where they get that final win and everyone can have that. But B, it also kind of puts over the people who are remaining in the company and keeping them hot. So for me, I do feel like, you know, even the previous match that we've reviewed on our previous pod, go and check it out, guys, where Sting and Darby Allin had their final match. And don't get me wrong, it was a great match. But in a way, I was slightly disappointed at them getting the win. But that sounds bad. It's not because I didn't want them to. I just feel it helps elevate whoever else is in the company and they're going to be remaining there. So, but I also get it was Sting's final match. So I'll let them off. I felt it was done right.
You were, like you said, but even the build-up, like, Bullet Club won all the tag matches. United Empire didn't win one. So, again, you couldn't put Bullet Club over and Finlay over as much. I mean, Finlay beat Ospreay at Wrestle Kingdom and now is beating him here in a cage match, and his faction is dominant. Ospreay couldn't have done more, really. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. And it's not even a case of we're all questioning, oh, well, Ospreay just couldn't get that win in the end. Obviously, we just saw what happened at the end there, and I don't think anyone would have been able to get themselves out of that. So, again, it just leaves then Will being, you know, sympathised by the whole of the New Japan fandom as he's left, because he's left on that note, you know? So yeah, again, doubt. I just feel like there's a lot more emotions tied into endings like that.
Well, backstage comments. Okada was in bits. Danielson gave his soul, he said. He gives Zack the best technical wrestler in the world award. Zack said him and his dickheads want to change the concept of wrestling, which really, really gets me interested. February 23rd then, only two events left. Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Yuji Nagata. Now, one of the things I liked about this, Monty, is, again, we know Zack beat Danielson, but he's also beat everyone Danielson has challenged himself as well, which is, again, a really interesting story at this time.
Yeah, I think Danielson also said that if they want to do a grudge match, they can find, they need to find a promoter so they can do it on neutral ground, a place that's not AEW or New Japan. I don't know how serious that is or whatever, but you, even if they don't have another fight, I think with their history, I think the benefit was done. And like you said, this was like a one little last jab. But also, he's beating Yuji Nagata, a legend, and he's just trying to. I think it was also just a good display that he's going to be a priority in the singles division going forward because he is going to be stepping into that role that not even just for Will Ospreay as the foreigner, but just as a prominent heavyweight contender that is always capable of beating anyone on the roster. And I think that's a great spot for Zack to be in, especially off that successful TV title run.
Well, we get House of Torture, Ren Narita, Kanemura, and Takahashi defeating Oleg Boten, Taguchi, and Honma. Chaos, Okada, Ishii, Yo, Yoshihashi defeated Callum Newman, Akira, Great Khan, and Jeff Cobb. The Prince of Pace, I will say Callum Newman, I've not mentioned, but Will Ospreay has kind of given him his the mantle of kind of the next guy, and he's even taken up the Oz Cutter. But I think the one thing that's so cool in this, and Jaxie, I don't know if you saw it or not, but Great Khan standing in the entranceway with his KOPW title up as Okada is like doing all the goodbyes, all this lot. Okada is like, I don't give a fuck about you. It's all about me. You know, I think that was a moment.
Yeah. I did see that moment. And, you know, I couldn't help but just laugh because, you know, this is another moment yet again, which yourself and Gina were just saying about another one that should be built up to take over the mantle. Like the Great Okan has so many good features about him. And, you know, he just only gets better. He's highly entertaining. And this moment here was just hilarious. It really was.
It was really good. Los Ingobernables defeated just five guys. An IWGP Women's Title match. Mayu Iwatani defeated Mina Shirakawa. Monty, I know I've just butchered those names. I apologise. It's weird, though, because the last proper New Japan show, the women's match only went 5 minutes. I'm not sure how long this was going to go, but it still went about 8 or 9. Iwatani fought hard to the ropes to break the figure four that she had applied on her. She ran for a big moose for scoring a win with two dragon suplex. Like we said earlier, just really good stuff. IWGP Junior Heavyweight Title match show. Defeated El Desperado by count out, but title changes hands. Show spent most of the match cheating or sending his knee. Desperado worked slowly after getting choked out early. Ren Narita pulled Despy out of the ring behind the referee's back and held him down. Show becomes the 95th junior heavyweight champion versus via count out. Monty, what is this? Please tell me. Like, again, I understand count out, but damn you. Damn you, House of Torture.
I mean, yeah, that's what it is. Damn you, House of Torture. Because I don't know, man. The stipulation, it can happen on count out. It rarely, titles rarely change. So that was really a lame way, I guess. I guess you didn't want Show to pin El Desperado. Like you said, at least pin him with a finish or something. But I don't know. Yeah, this is. A lot of people may not like it. I understand that House of Torture is not popular, but Show is it completely insane. The person who's been watching him his entire career in me is kind of proud because I always knew he could be a junior heavyweight champion. But the descent that he kind of went into, yeah, the show
I mean,
that he
I'll
is
take
now,
Drew at Mania, but you can't take it.
Yeah, the show that he is now, yeah, I'm definitely not proud of it. But like I said, he's insane. So I guess it was kind of fitting at least. But yeah, man, a lot of people weren't happy with this result. And I'm not either because I thought Desperado, you know, he just beat a Roman. We got a great run. So you would expect him to go on more of a run. But again, I think these losses really affected some of these decisions because I don't know. I can't tell you why. Because certain things happened in regards to that because Despy should have been a champion, in my opinion. But hey, let's see what show got.
Someone who shouldn't be champion is Evil, who defeated Shooter Umino to retain his Neverfight title. Come on. Got another win in a special House of Torture special where interference is commonplace. Anyway, next match, NJPW World Television title, Matt Riddle versus Hiroshi Tanahashi. Riddle came into this match ice cold. I'm not sure the Sapporo crowd had been looking up RK-Bro.
They didn't know who the hell he was.
I'm just saying. I mean, physically, he looked fine, but the crowd were just like, what? Riddle won the match in decisive fashion, putting Tanahashi away after only 8 minutes with a bro Derek. The Aces reign ends at 50 days. Riddle was the third TV champion. I mean, Gina, bro, what is it about New Japan booking ex-WWE stars as champion now, eh? Like, come on. What's going on?
I don't know. It's in their contract. Okay, sign with us and you get a championship right away. You know, like, what? Again, build him up. Let him let the fans, you know, build their rapport with him and then they'll be more over. He'll be more over once he gets that win. But just seeing him put Matey away after 8 minutes, it's just like, what? Who is this guy? Who is he? You know?
Well, I bet he got in the packet afterwards. And I bet Jeff Cobb is his hookup. I'm just saying. I know. I'm just guessing what went on there. Move on to IWGP Global Heavyweight title match. Nick Nemeth versus David Finlay. And Finlay dominated the overwhelming majority of the match, gaining the upper hand after he attacked Nemeth from behind. But Nemeth, unlike Riddle, actually had the crowd behind him as he came back. Of course, sympathy from the crowd is a great way for Babyface to be. Nemeth would kick out of the Oblivion and then hit his finisher, now known as the Danger Zone, which I think is a better name just than Zigzag, but both sounds like maybe gay nightclubs, and become the champion. The second IWGP Global Heavyweight Champion, beating David Finlay in his first defence. Jaxie, I just said it to Gina as well, but I think the difference is Nick Nemeth for me here looked really motivated, but I did feel a little bit sorry for Finlay.
Yeah, again, I feel like this was a little bittersweet because I don't really feel like Finlay had any run with that belt at all. And, you know, considering he sort of took over the mantle of Jay White and is trying to run, like, you know, something new, you would have thought that he would have had a bit longer of a run or a title defense. And for him to lose it as his first title defense, from that point of view, is disappointing. However, like you said, Nick Nemeth came across very strong in the match. He had a lot of the crowd behind him. And when you watch the match, it looks, you know, right, like he should have won it. I just feel like this should have been more built up. I think this goes back to what my sister just said about the Matt Riddle match and, like, building Nick Nemeth up. Like, who was Nick Nemeth to have come in and already challenged for this belt? Like, he's not really gone through, you know, series of matches and things like that. And it goes back to your original point of what is it with New Japan just bringing in these new Western guys, which is great, absolutely great, but handing them titles straight away. Let them work their way up, you know? So it's just, it's disappointing. It's disappointing from David Finlay's side, because if he was supposed to be sort of like this big, bad, you know, war dog leader that had just taken out the leader of the United Empire, like, they've really just made him look like a joke now, you know, after one title.
This is the question. Is, like I said, is Finn working? Maybe New Japan are thinking, oh, maybe we change it a little bit. With Nemeth, he got a real shiner, so there's no point. He wasn't, you know, showing off. And Finn blamed this on the cage match and the booking of it being so close. How could he possibly be 100%? I'm sure there will be rematches down the road. And backstage comments as well. Taichi and Shingo can't agree a stipulation. Monty, they should be an oddball team. I'm going to get onto this in a little bit, but honestly. Riddle called out Zack Sabre Jr. Don't you fucking dare, Riddle. Nemeth showed a lot more passion. February 24th, El Desperado, Ollie Boat and Shoot Romelu Makeba. Yo defeated House of Torture. Yo stole a junior title from Sho after the match, a runoff, thus continuing the belt-based shenanigans around a junior title. Monty, I don't know if you can explain why no one champion can have it, or if my favourite bit was when Yo hid from Sho behind like the curtain, literally.
In right behind the interview screen.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, again, Sho and Yo have a long history. Used to be partners. One of the best Super Junior tag teams. Before Sho lost his mind and went House of Torture. You know, Yo is not all there either, but he's a good crazy. You know what I mean? But you know how, like, John Moxley in WWE or Dean Ambrose was, he was crazy, but they were like, oh, you know.
Lunatic Fringe. Was
that's it? Just John. Right. Yo is a different type of crazy, while Sho is just lost his mind completely. And but yeah, they kind of, it's funny that this is what their relationship is involved into. And Sho is hilarious because after stealing the belt for Desperado for the whole tour, he now said, oh, what kind of man steals the championship? What kind of man steals the championship that they don't own yet? You know, as if he didn't just do it. And then Yo, of course, stole it. It was just great. It's great cat and mouse. Again, sometimes you just gotta, with New Japan, you just be entertained by that little stuff, because that's the most like WWE like you're gonna get, if you see what I mean.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? This is what makes it kind of interesting. I still don't like House of Torture, but that kind of did make me laugh. Okada's farewell match is chaos. Okada, Hiroki Goto, Tomohiro Ishii, Toriyano, and Yoshihashi defeat the United Empire with one last rainmaker to Callum Newman. Kazuchika Okada leaves New Japan victorious, if not very glamorous. And Gina, I don't know about you, but this was far from Will Ospreay's emotional farewell just 2 weeks previously with his teammates and family sending him for the main event. This is a guy leaving with a promotion looking probably all too okay with a closing the door behind him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, for me, this felt different to Will Ospreay's, in the sense of Will Ospreay was like, it truly felt like he was saying truly goodbye. Whereas Okada, for me, I felt like was saying, see you later, you know, just in case a couple years time, 5-10 years time, he ends up going back there for a couple of special matches even returning, you know. It just felt like a see you later more in my eyes.
I think it's true. I mean, again, Jaxie, you're the most biased Okada fan here. Would you agree with that?
Definitely. I think I did actually say this earlier that, you know, as we discuss kind of more events that have taken place going forward, it kind of doesn't really feel like a final goodbye. So the previous emotional goodbyes, then kind of landing with this, didn't really feel like it was warranted or needed, because I don't really feel like this is the final goodbye.
Well, one farewell that was official was Tama Tonga with Jado as special guest referee. It was El Fantasma and Hikuleo defeating Tama Tonga and Tanga Loa. The pop when G.O.D. came out with face paint was so cool. So is ELP's jacket, actually. Anyway, these two had a solid tag match here with OG G.O.D. putting over the new team after Hikuleo hit the godsend on Tama. Funnily enough, though, it was this time last year when Hikuleo sent another Bullet Club alum, Jay White, out of the company with the godsend. And hang on a minute, let me just check my notes. With this, all four of the original four members of Bullet Club, Prince Devitt, Carl Anderson, Tama Tonga, and Bad Luck Fale, are done as full-time members of New Japan. Truly the end of an era in New Japan Pro Wrestling, Monty. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, 100%. I think, like you said, now it's a completely, I'm not going to say extended family, but yeah, the ties to the original members are gone from New Japan now. And, you know, they, I think this was a beautiful way to kind of pass the torch from Tommy's point of view, because Tommy was leading G.O.D. Tommy was also a single star. And he started off in a tag team, much like what Hikuleo was doing. You know, 7-time IWGP Tag Team Champions. So, you know, they have a legacy. He has a legacy in the tag division. And the last few years, he's been building a pretty strong legacy for himself as a single star. So to lose Tama Tonga is a big deal. But I love the way they kind of did it in a sense. And again, kind of like you mentioned earlier, with the difference between Okada's and Tama's and even Ospreay, even down to Tama, Tama's putting over somebody. Tama's, you know, giving his brother his spot. You know, Tama's losing to Evil, even if no one probably wanted him to do that. He put over Evil, you know what I mean? So, again, it's just a situation where Ospreay and Tama, the energy of, and how much they're saying bye. You know, Tama was raised there. He spent 14 years there. So it was real special to see Tama go out like that, wear the face paint for old time's sake, team up with his brother one good time. Because, they, again, they were a very prominent team. A lot of people may only know Tama for what he's been doing the last few years. But he's just been great and consistent in New Japan for a long time. So New Japan without him is going to be really, really crazy, really weird. But, again, I just love the notion of him passing the torch to Hikuleo.
Yeah, without a doubt. Nick Nemeth, Rizuki Taguchi defeated David Finlay and Gedo. After the match, Nemeth challenged Tanahashi to a future global title match. Strange way to do it, but I guess it will be at Winter City. Bushi defeated Taka Michinoku. It was a great novelty to have Takamatsu's single card on singles match on the card. Bushi won with a figure four style submission. Doki, I will get that right one day, Monty, defeated Hiromu Takahashi. For me, this was a great match. Doki had never beaten Hiromu in a singles match before, and it didn't look like to be an exception, but he kept fighting with Sapura loudly getting on his side. He kicked out the dynamite plunger and time bomb, and Doki finally got the arms trapped and hit a suplex de la Luna to score the biggest single win of his career. And the next match, Taichi defeated Shingo in a hard-hitting match as well. The same Sapura crowd that willed Taichi on last year against Will Ospreay willed him on this time. He came through, dropping Shingo a dangerous backdrop to score the win here. Monty, I don't know if I'm getting into New Japan, but I love these last two matches as well. The feud between Taichi and Shingo, and also Doki finally getting that victory.
Yeah, man, this is special stuff. I think this is the first time in a while I've seen New Japan kind of split an entire card up between two factions and their individual dealings and all that. And like you said, Hiromu was like the measuring stick in the junior division. Even without the belt, he is that guy. He's the face. So for Doki to finally be able to climb that mountain, finally be able to defeat Hiromu, it means this is maybe the year in Best of the Super Junior. Doki makes a bigger impact, makes it to a final, makes it maybe win the whole thing. Who knows? I think that might be one of the things. Like, same thing with Akira. We talk about how he might be arriving. I think Doki's another one that this victory just shows where New Japan wants him to be. And I think this is a quality, like you said, performance for him, because I think he looked really, really good here with Hiromu. And, you know, the fact that he finally hit that finish, a move that he usually just never cannot quite complete. Whenever he does, though, he wins the Suplex de Luna. So, yeah, I love Doki. He's won me over completely. And Shingo, you know how I feel about Shingo matches. It's really, really tough to go out there and not, all you have to do is just match his energy, and you're probably going to have an awesome, completely physical contest. Tai Chi has been remarkable in many different ways. And like you mentioned, he beat Ospreay there. He beat Naito. He's beaten all types of guys in Sapporo. When he's in his hometown, Tai Chi is a different beast, and he proved it again in this one too. So again, this is something that's connected to the world title picture with Naito and Sonata, but also in their own completely different world. I just love, like, how many other promotions have cards like that where you can kind of get individual relationships in two factions like that connected to your world title match.
That's the dream booking, isn't it? You know, to try and get it all entwined. You talk about Nation versus DX back in the days, and like Triple H with the stables. That is his end game. But at the moment, this is what we've got. And like I said, even with the scores, of kind of like, at the moment, who's in the lead? LIG needs the LIJ need the last two matches as well. And we've got Hair versus Hair, Yota Tsuji defeating Yura Uemura. Uemura used his basics to evade the gene blaster spear multiple times. Eventually, Tsuji caught him on the back foot and speared him to hell to get the win and retain his hair. Afterwards, Jota cut Yu's ponytail off. Uemura then went for an inverted hawk hairstyle, as it would be. Gina, we've spoken about Tsuji before having nice hair. He couldn't lose it in this one, surely. Uemura losing his hair. And again, Tsuji getting another big victory. He might be the one. Not saying he's on anybody's level, but he's looking to step out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just to correct me here, Tsuji is the one that me and my sister refer to as Teeth, yeah?
Oh, yeah, Teeth, nice hair. Yes.
To be honest, I wasn't shocked with this ending, but I was so invested in this match because they both had such nice hair and I had no idea who was going to get the win. I assumed Tsuji was going to get the win. So that's why I wasn't truly shocked when he did get it. But I also was kind of glad. In no way is this meant to be offensive, but I felt like out of the two of them, the other one, I'm really sorry, I can't pronounce
Uemura.
His name. In my eyes, I think he would look more handsome with short hair. So I also was like, I think if anything, it will work if he loses anyway. So yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm not mad at the match. I'm not mad at the outcome. It was awesome.
Not to be two-fist, but yeah, if Tsuji had his hair cut, he'd be more teeth than face, would be fair to say.
Yeah, it would be a bit of a scary face to envision, you know, to actually see it. I think, yeah, it would be frightening.
And Uemura can always come back as kind of like, I don't call him a bald-headed warrior, but, you know, and have that kind of anger with him as well. So we shall see. Yeah.
You know, get his redemption. Plus, he can always grow it back as well. We know that he's going to just grow it back and it'll be nice.
In 2 years' time, we'll be completely forgotten about this. Yep. And the main event, IWGP World Heavyweight title match, Tetsuya Naito defeating Sanada. At one point, Naito missed the rope on a tornado DDT and crumbled into a pole with Sanada, and they just laid on the mat. Kind of submission. For me, I think they maybe botched that and had to call the last bit on the fly, but they got back on track enough for the closing stretch. That Sanada run through his big moves, but in the end, Naito reversed a deadfall into the tornado DDT cradle for the win. But Jaxie, I don't think there's any argument what we thought about the match. But Naito, you know, we've mentioned who could take Okada's place. Naito at the moment, with that crowd, is in that place. He's over like no one else.
He really is. I think, like, you know, the crowd can even win those that are watching, you know, like at home over as well. Like, it's just on a different level right now. And he's just got so much hype behind him. And this match didn't disappoint, but there were one or two areas where I thought that was potentially a botch and whether or not they had to cover themselves. So, you know, overall, I still think it was a great match. These two work really well together. We've seen that in the past anyway. And overall, it was another good showing for Naito.
I think without a doubt, Naito got the mic and said goodbye to Okada with roll call at the end as the kind of ticker tape went off. And finally, backstage comments. Well, Greater Khan didn't sugarcoat it. He thinks Okada is chicken crap. The rain has stopped and now he is a money tree. Well done, Khan. Okada said on the possibility of returning to New Japan, I'm already looking ahead to what's next and I'll leave him with the intention of never coming back. I'm a little sorry about that, but I don't think so. Nice guy. I think Okada's crying more than Cody. You know, I never thought the baby faces would be judged on tears shed, but I think Okada is winning at this moment in time. Hick and ELP sang to Tama, and Tama said he's been on hell of a journey. And like you said, Monty, there was a lot of emotion there. There was a lot of emotion as well with Doki. Doki, fuck me, was emotional. He beat Takahashi. It's the best he's ever felt, and Hiromu felt pathetic. And again, I quite like these backstage comments because you get a little bit more as well, Monty, you know?
Yeah, man, and it really comes from an honest perspective. If you want context to what you're seeing, it really is. It really fills in those lines, you know? I know some people need, if you want, you can see that they're actually telling stories. It's not just random. It's not all just random card dream matches, you know? And I think that those comments give a nice underlying element. And you heard that some of the English guys, It don't seem like any of this is pre-prepared for the most part. You know, I don't know how they do it. They just kind of let people give you an update on how they feeling that day on the tour. So it's really a cool vlog, but also backstage segment type of deal. So it's really, really, really underrated element to New Japan.
This is what made me laugh about Danielson when he was, and they're going, what, you just want me to talk? All right. And again, you do get magic from him sometimes, you know? And I just want to, before we go as well, Taichi is not just a YouTuber, but I think Shingo and Taichi secret love each other, all right? You look at this, right? Look how much we want to be together. I'm so invested in a YouTube channel getting deleted or not, and now they're going to stream together, you know? And again, why am I so invested in this? And is there any way they could be a tag team, or just they can't? Even though they're sharing saunas together, like, they can't because it's different factions.
Yeah, they can. They can. Taichi's already took one of Naito's members. I guess, you know, that's enough when he took Sonata. But yeah, Shingo is a very, very... It's funny, though. I didn't even know he had a YouTube. I knew about Taichi. Taichi streams all the time.
He doesn't
guys,
shut the fuck up about it.
All types of videos. Yeah. Like, subscribe to Taichi. That's all he cares about at the end of this stage of his career. He put on banger matches, and then he go have a beer on his computer stream. That's pretty much it. Like, but yeah, I agree with you. They would make an awesome team if it was if factions could,
you know,
trade members and stuff like
there.
That. Taichi has, he has a weird relationship with Naito in a similar way where they kind of get along. Maybe he's like a long lost LIJ member, you know, with his opera singing and all of that. But they just never have connected.
That'd be the biggest pop. If he joins LIJ, I'm in, you know. And obviously, Okada saying Naito was his first and his last in a weird way. But I'm going to get everybody's final thoughts in a second. I will say on the next show that we do for New Japan, on the next New Japan show, so to speak, we'll cover Windy City Riot. We've already spoken about a couple of big matches there. New Japan Cup. And also, Monty, the 52nd anniversary show. I cannot wait for Naito versus Show. Oh, that's going to be great. You know, like, I just sit down with my popcorn and enjoy that. But anyway, that is basically it for the New Japan catch-up. So, Jack C, I'll ask you first, because I usually do this with NXT as well, but what were your thoughts on New Japan this past couple of months? Because we've caught Wrestle Kingdom, and now we're kind of bang up to date as well, and we've seen a lot of change.
Yeah, I mean, the best way to describe it is explosive, you know, in terms of just shock leaves, shock joins, shock title changes, just up and down, like not, it's unpredictable, you know, but in a good way. I'm very much looking forward to catching up with the New Japan Cup. I haven't yet, but that is next on my to-do list. It's been great catching up with all of this, and again, phenomenal work coming out of New Japan. This is what is continuously keeping us going back to it and reviewing this content, because it just gets so good. Who knows where we're going to be by the end of this year with New Japan? I can't even imagine how atrocious our predictions probably are for this, with how much has already happened and changed. So here's to the rest of the year, and I look forward to discussing the New Japan Cup.
Yeah, but I think we'll be in a better position next year. Like I said, we're actually... Yeah. I mean, Gina, I don't know about you with this. I mean, I'm going to get your thoughts on New Japan, but also, like, this is all helping out. Us being together discussing it, we're actually learning more about the product as well, which can only be a good thing, surely, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I remember when Monty was telling me and my sister, you know, not even last year, the year before, all about New Japan. And to be honest, it's pods like these that really help kind of, you know, give me some background knowledge. And, you know, where I'm looking at one match in one way, after I hear Monty's breakdown of it, I understand kind of the depth of that match even further, you know, things like that. So it's really helpful, especially for people like me who is newly picking up New Japan. And it's not the same as, you know, WWE. They have their own aesthetic, their own way of working. And yeah, again, I love reviewing things like this that I'm not even aware of myself because I learn.
Yeah. And like I said, it's been good stuff. It's not just us saying it to kind of keep Monty happy. Like, the wrestling has been quite good as well. Apart from House of Fucking Torture.
Not doing it for sure.
We'll get over it. Monty, for you, man, I mean, this is big. I mean, you're with a few noobs here, me included, don't get me wrong, but, you know, this is a real end of an era, like we said, with Okada and Ospreay and even, like, with Tama. I mean, how are you feeling at the moment? And again, there is a bit of excitement because we're all here ready for the future. So whatever happens in decades to come, we'll be like the old heads going, I remember when Yota Tsuji wasn't a world champion and stuff like that, you know? So, I mean, what are your thoughts and everything?
Yeah. I think New Japan's in a transition period. I've seen a lot of think pieces, a lot of people who may not be a fan of some of the decisions that's being made. But at the same time, I think for as a fan, me personally, I feel validated. You know, I haven't had you guys reviewing just something that appeals to me and that is not really good. Because the biggest confirmation is the top three stars in New Japan, in that company, for the last however many 6 years. And then if you go back to even adding Omega, and when the Young Bucks and Hangman was also in New Japan, and just I can go down the list. That pretty much makes up AEW, or we got talent from New Japan like Shinsuke and other talent, that is literally in the WWE system too. Just like how much confirmation that New Japan is some of the best wrestling in the world is that when you think about how much AEW and other companies are willing to pay to get these guys from New Japan. So, and with Mercedes and on that also. You know what I mean? It's just like all of it.
I weren't being horrible earlier when I was comparing it to like NXT, but like you said, with
I don't take it that way.
Do you know what I mean? Like it literally is the talent that we've seen has progressed now to this point, you know, like.
Right, and now it's time for a new era to step up. I think that's the interesting part. Like you mentioned, will the Yota Tsuji be the one to etch their name in that spot as the new person to be the future after a Naito or after some of the guys who are older and in top spots are going to slow down? You're going to have someone take over. Will it be a Shota Umino who has already called himself that? And, you know, a lot of people don't do that. You're not really supposed to say that. Other people call you the ace. You don't say that. So will he be able to actually lean into it? Has he screwed himself over already? Who knows? And then you got like Fujita. You got so many other. You got Gabe Kidd. You got the other. I forgot about the foreign young guys with Dave Finley and just how they can step up. And TJP and even with Nick Nemeth. You know, I don't have too much of a problem with it. I understand what you guys say about them giving belts to WWE guys, but I think about it, I'm like, well, name a company that for the most part don't do that to an extent when they sign these people. But the Riddle one definitely shocked me. Not so much the Nick Nemeth because I knew he was going to be around more. But, yeah, man, I'm really excited to see what else they could do because this is a very interesting time. This could be a make-or-break type of deal for New Japan if they don't necessarily – get back on the right front. But James, if you said the House of Torture was a downside for you, no spoilers, but yeah, man, enjoy the New Japan Cup.
Oh, my God. But again, like I said, New Japan Cup, when we'll just be doing, obviously, the matches from the New Japan Cup and not the kind of undercard. Windy City Riot, we'll do that in its entirety. And, of course, like I said, Show versus Naito. So not a lot to catch up on. I'm hopefully to do it next month. But again, with AEW probably giving another 2 pay-per-views next month, I don't know. But again, we'll catch it up as soon as we possibly can. And that is it for today then. Don't forget, we'll cross all social media, Twitter at the WNR Podcast. I'm at the WNRJ and you can find the entire WNR team on the Twitter banner. Jaxie, where can people find you? Do you want to plug your stuff?
You can find me across both X and Instagram at Jaxie Scarlett. I'm also on Twitch at Jaxie Scarlett. Come find me over there if you like streaming, watching horror game and me just, screaming the place down, playing alongside my sister.
Excellent. Monty, what about you?
Yeah, after I put out the New Japan Cup, deal pod that I'm working on. I think I'm taking the next week off. I'm going on vacation, but definitely still listen to my old shows. keep up with what's going on at My Monthly Pod, and or like you said, on the Dublin or Twitter banner, and that'll be it.
And Gina?
Yeah, you can find me on the same at Purple Ping.
At Dubliner, also on Facebook and Instagram, across all Google platforms. Send us an email at dublinerpodcast@gmail.com. YouTube, Love Podcast with latest clips. Podcast got same time on YouTube to do SoundCloud on your phone. Also Spotify and iTunes, where you can download, subscribe, rate and review there. So that is it. Our next episode, well, Monty and I hit a roadblock, an NXT roadblock, as it was. But spoilers, it's a return of Trick, so we cannot wait for that one. And also, what's even bigger, from right this moment now, we are in WrestleMania season on the WNR podcast, because we've had an NXT update. We won't have a Mystery Mania, but we will be live in 3 weeks' time for WrestleMania weekend, both nights. Obviously, we have so much fun as well. We're going to do predictions. We have fun and games. We might even have a master bait. And on night two, we will review Stand and Deliver. So it's going to be fun. But until then, I've been James Rowlands and was joined by the fantastic Jaxie Scarlett. Jaxie, thank you for joining me. We're getting on too well at the moment. I think that's the issue.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand this, but I'm sure it's just the calm before the storm. I'm sure this won't last. It's been fun, and I look forward to the next one.
Yeah, I'm sure when we start predictions again, you know. And obviously, the mind of Monty. And Monty, I didn't butcher too many names either, I don't think. I'm getting a little bit better.
Yeah, you improved. I can tell you've been watching. You've been actually watching, because that's how I got it. You're going to get it through repetition. You hear it the right way enough, eventually you get it. But, you know, thank you again, though. It's always fun doing these.
Yeah, without doubt, it's always great to be here with everyone. Of course, the genius of Gina as well. Gina, I hope you enjoyed yourself as much as I did.
Oh, definitely. Thank you for educating me as a New Japan noob. But either way, I'm so excited for this next season to come up. We've got a lot of great wrestling coming up. And like we said, I'm enjoying more of this New Japan the more I watch. So, yeah, look forward to this next space.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, thank you. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Bye.